Well, when the jazz cat, Leroy Downs, checks in, we all kind of keep our mouths shut and kind of sit back and listen and kind of relax a little bit and take it all in, because he's got a lot to say. Actually, he does a lot. He has his interviewee has a lot to do all the talking, and that's the beautiful thing about it. He's a master interviewer. And those of you that have enjoyed his website and all the who's who of jazz, you can go again to that website and check out his archived interviews exclusively here on Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio. That website is www.thejazzcat.net. And if you haven't been there before, I don't know what's keeping you, but if you have been there before, check it out again, because you will find some interviews on there that you will not see anywhere else in the world. So without further ado, he's got another stellar interview today. Bring on the Jazz Cat, live with the Jazz Cat Show on Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio. Leroy?
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Hey, very good, thank you. Let me let you take it away.
Well, beautiful. Well, you know, I mean, this jazz business that we all love so much is comprised of a number of excellent, talented, wonderful jazz musicians, those that are legends and those that are paving the way right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, I introduce you to the winner of the prestigious 2007 Thelonious Monk International Jazz Competition, none other than Mr. Ambrose Akinmusri. What's up, Ambrose?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm well, man. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Man, it's got to be such a wonderful accomplishment at the beginning of such a great career to be honored with this award.
Yeah, it still hasn't hit me, man, but it's always been a dream of mine since I was 15 in high school. I went to the same high school as Joshua Redmond, who's a previous winner of the same competition.
Well, I know Josh is from up north, so are you from Oakland as well?
Yeah, I'm from Oakland. Josh is from the city that neighbors Oakland, Berkeley.
Okay.
But I live right on the border.
Oh, man, beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, I may have said the beginning of your playing career, but you played with some legends already in our business, man. Billy Higgins, Joe Henderson, Joshua, as you mentioned, Stephon Harris. I mean, for a young musician who has experienced the past and lives in a culture dominated by hip-hop and other, you know, references for your genre, for your insight in music, what is the Ambrose philosophy behind the music?
Well, I'm still working on my philosophy, but what I try to maintain is that music is music. You know, Miles said that, you know, there's good music and there's bad music. I haven't really found bad music yet. So, you know, I listen to hip-hop, I listen to country, I listen to R&B, I listen to classical. You know, I listen to all music. Music is just an expression. I don't see why anybody would ever discriminate, you know.
Against the sound.
Right.
I understand that. You're listening to Ambrose Akinmusri right here on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. The show's called Live with the Jazz Cat. I'm Leroy Downs. And it's on the Four Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. You know, working with the Thelonious Monk Institute allows you to be in close touch with, you know, many of today's performers. A lot who come down and teach master classes and spend some time with students.
Right.
Beside what I would think would be obvious, Terrence Blanchard, what other visiting musicians open your eyes to some different perspectives in the music?
Well, I can tell you, there wasn't one clinician that came that I didn't get something from, but specifically speaking, there's Ron Carter. He came twice in the 2 years. He came once in the beginning of the 2 years and once at the end of the 2 years. And just to hear how this cat speaks, man, was educational, you know, and it gave you insight into the music that he makes, or into the music that he made, you know, like when he was with the Miles Davis Quintet. And just hearing stories of how he got to where he was and how he became one of the most recorded bass players, musicians in the world was very interesting to me. Also, Benny Golson, he came, you know, and that was so killing. That cat is just so positive.
Isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a happy cat, man. I was like, wow. And I feel like the people that I got the most out of were, you know, I got things about being a person beyond the music. I'm sorry. Like Ron Carter, that's what he stressed the most, you know. And that's what Herbie, you know, I got to be around Herbie and Wayne. know, anytime I ask them advice, you know, they approached it from being a human being. And I think that is what I appreciated most from the cats that came to the Monk Institute.
Yeah, well, you know, this is emotional music, and we are human beings, and especially jazz is where we're free to express ourselves with a lot of these emotions, you know. Who was it for you that was instrumental in directing you toward music, and were you introduced to jazz, or did you just discover it along the way?
Both. I was raised in the Baptist church. My mother's side of the family is from Mississippi. They moved to California, so, you know, like most black people from the South, you go to church 3-4 times a week.
Four or five.
But I was that kid that during the middle of the service would run up to the piano and bang on it when I was 2 or 3 years old. My family just decided that they would give me piano lessons. So I started playing piano at the age of 4. I started playing piano in church at the age of 5. I did that up until I was 13 or 14. But I'm the only musician in my family. So this is kind of both. I was sort of called to it, but I was also supported by my family.
When's the first time that you discovered like a jazz thing? Were they doing jazz in church, or were they doing gospel or R&B or soul, or mixing it all up?
It was, you know, your typical, not typical, Southern Baptist gospel, you know, more like Mahalia Jackson, you know, playing Order My Steps and, you know, gospely, jazz-related type of things, but not exactly jazz in the church.
You're listening to Ambrose Akinmusiri, 2007 winner of the prestigious Thelonious Monk International Jazz Competition, right here on Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM, KRML Jazz and Blues Radio, on the For Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Currently, you don't have an album released just yet, but when you make your move to hit the studio at the end of the month, I think, the music that you select will for many be a defining marker as to their perspective on Ambrose.
Right.
How do you plan on doing a Hank Aaron, man, knocking it out of the park?
Well, technically, I recorded an album in June.
Oh, okay.
And this is before the Monk competition, any of that stuff. And but now I'm trying to decide what label I'm going to give it to, since now I seem to have options because of this competition and all. So that's where I'm at with that. But I am going to go back in the studio within the next 3 months to work on my second album.
Options are wonderful, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They're beautiful.
Who's on that album?
On that album, we have Aaron Parks, you know, who placed third in the piano competition, who also played with Terrence Blanchard. I think he's playing with Kurt Rosenwinkel, who's actually working on his debut album on Blue Note. And then you have Joe Sanders, who was a member of the last Monk Institute that I was a part of. We have Justin Brown. We have Walter Smith, who was also in the Monk Institute with me. And Chris Dingman, who was also in the Monk Institute with me.
Well, you know, I know all of these players, man, and I've seen them perform and heard them, man, and that's just an excellent cast of musicians.
Aw, thanks, man.
Yeah. You know, I find that several artists from your generation have been influenced by Bjork.
Right.
She's an artist. I mean, she's not necessarily a jazz musician, but she's a singer, she's an actress, and I often wonder what those sentiments, how those sentiments cross lines.
Huh. You know, for me, the thing about Bjork, man, I swear I'm the biggest Bjork fan out there possible. And for me, it's that every single note, every single breath she takes is inspirational. Every single breath, every single note is her, 100%. You know, not 50%, not 60%. You know, if she cracks a note, you know, that's part of her expression, you know. And that's what I am trying to strive towards in my music. You know, just complete Ambrose-ness. Ambrose,
hey,
I like that.
There you go. That's beautiful, man.
Yeah, so that's what it is for Bjork, man. I've never, ever listened to a Bjork song and not been inspired by it. You know, if I don't feel like practicing or if I'm down or whatever I'm in, if I listen to Bjork. And Joni Mitchell also. If I listen to them, actually, Joni Mitchell, Bjork, and Betty Carter, they all have a similar thing for me.
You know,
and they don't sacrifice themselves for anyone. You know, I've heard Bjork do compilation CDs. She did a tribute to Joni Mitchell, and she still sounds like Bjork. Whereas most people on the CD are trying to sound like Joni Mitchell.
Right.
you know, and that's just something that I, you know, I respect in any musician.
Keep your identity, that says a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah. We know in jazz music there's the old guard, there's the traditionalists, the innovators, the standard bearers, and, you know, those who many wouldn't consider jazz at all.
Right.
But, you know, you're the youth of 2008, man, and your fresh perspective on the music will open up and blossom a new branch. You know, have you conceptualized an approach, or will you just kill them with the tone and the technical ability and the innovation?
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm, like I was just saying before in the last question, I'm just trying to figure out who I am. You know, I figure if I can be true to who I am, then the other stuff will fall in line. I will be innovative because there is no other Ambrose. There never has been. You know, and if I just keep an open mind, my music will be a lot different, and hopefully it will be inspiring for other people. You know, because I feel like, you know, all humans go through the same, just through similar things in life. So if I can be true to those things and express them in my music and in my playing, then people will be able to associate with them. You know, be it, you know, someone who's 14 from, you know, West Oakland, or, you know, 100 from Beverly Hills. You know, every human being has experienced sadness. Every human being has experienced happiness. You know, if you can truly express that, then you shouldn't have a problem.
Well, that's, you know, we all fall under the umbrella of emotion, you know.
Right.
And, you know, it's the beginning of 2008, man. The world is spinning so crazy out of control with political powers trying to keep or seize their power and exchange rates out of whack. You know,
right.
The emotions of most Americans are on high alert most of the time, you know, and music is certainly a healer for that.
Right.
What, if any, message will you convey in your compositions, and where will you steer those emotions?
Well, I'm trying to, I've been checking out the word resilience. Just as a black man in America, you know, my people have come through a lot, you know, and just the ability to smile, or the ability to be happy, you know, while going through that, it's something that I'm really checking out right now, and it's really interesting to me. So that's something that I'm trying to I'm just trying to figure out how to express that in my music.
Yeah, that's extremely true, and it's extremely beautiful thing for you to go after, man. If you can talk about the resilience in the music, you know, we certainly feel that.
Right. Yeah, 08 is a good number too, man. In numerology, 7 is the end, 8 is the beginning, man. So I'm trying to I'm trying to look up in 8, you know, I'm trying to move forward.
Well, you're definitely doing that, man. And, you know, for so many years, we who love this music have been trying to get others to wrap their minds around it. You know, popular music seems to win out every time. Do you have some sense of this? And what elements of your music do you think will raise some eyebrows of some of those non-believers and get them to break on through to the other side?
I feel like my music, meaning the music that I recorded on the CD with the band, it's not just me, but the band of musicians that I tend to play with, don't play with boundaries. Meaning that the music can go anywhere at the drop of a hat, you know, and I think people will like that, and people will be able to hear that, you know. I know as a person, I'm attracted to tension, you know. I don't like anything to be stagnant. I at least want there to be a possibility of something happening. You know, you don't want to go to a movie and know exactly what's going to happen in a movie.
Absolutely.
You know, even if it's a love story, you know at the end they're going to be together. You want something to happen. All
right. Right. Right.
So I think that hopefully people will be attracted to that in the band that I usually play with.
Well, you're definitely making it happen along the way, man. Are you living in New York now?
Yeah, I just moved back in New York after I graduated the Monk Institute. Yeah, man, I missed it. I was in New York before. I was there for 4.5 years getting my undergrad at Manhattan School of Music. But as soon as I graduated, I moved back.
Well, that's a great place to be, man, because that seems to be the epicenter of all good things in terms of jazz music.
I miss L.A., though.
Well, you're in Oakland right now, and you've got a performance tonight. We're actually talking to you live from Yoshi's.
Right.
And there's a workshop that you're a part of tonight. Won't you tell me about the concert this evening?
Okay. I'm doing a benefit here at Yoshi's for the Oaktown Jazz Workshop. And what this is, it's a workshop that's run by Khalil Shaheed, who's a trumpet player from here, and he started this program maybe in 95, 96, and this program is actually one of the programs that started me to play jazz. I was in the first class of it, and I believe he was inspired to start this program because here in Oakland, we don't have jazz or music in most of the high schools. So a lot of the kids from Oakland end up going to Berklee High School, and Berklee High School has this incredible reputation, you know, for the musicians that come through there, not because it's an arts high school, it's just because most of the neighboring cities, you know, don't have music programs. So people like Josh Redman, John Faddis, Benny Green, all these cats, you know, Peter Alfbaum, all these cats are from around the area, Oakland and Berklee, but they end up going through Berklee High. So what I'm trying to do and what we're trying to do tonight, we're trying to raise money. And I'm trying to bring attention to that so maybe some people will bring money to the city and force them to open music programs in the high schools.
Yeah, well, as a, you know, as that being one of the places that you attended, man, you certainly will be bringing attention, especially with all of the great things that you're doing and what's happening ahead with you, man. It's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Oh, man, my pleasure, man. I appreciate it so much, man.
You're the man, Ambrose Akinmusri.
Thanks, Leroy.
You got it, man. 1410 AM, KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the For Locals Only Show with Mr. Gary Hamada.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. And again, a stellar interview with Leroy Downs, the Jazz Cat.